for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is taken with Miss Mary Pike of Penrith, and the date is the 6th of December 1991.
My name is Mary Pike and I live at 46 Lemon Grove Road, Penrith, which is in the Lemon Grove area on the north side of Penrith. And the date of my birth was the 13th of December 1924. Myself and my four sisters were born over in North Sydney and we came over to Windsor when I was only 6 weeks old. On both sides of my family, Irish and English ancestry. And I'm not married and I have no children.
Right. So how long have you actually lived in the Penrith area?
Oh, we came here in beginning of 1936 and we lived over in Stafford Street, and then we came here in this house here 50 years this year. It was 1941.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. So you've lived in this house 50 years.
Yes, yes.
So you all have seen a lot of changes around here.
Oh yes, but when we come here, you'd know almost all the people in the houses here, you'd know them by name and you'd say hello to them. But now, with the flats and that are down the other end of Lemon Grove Road, you hardly know anybody here at all. It's sad really in a way that that it goes to that state of affairs, that there's no friendliness and that with people now in units or flats and that, you don't know them. It's just
a different
way of life than that.
And when did you notice that starting to happen? Was that when were the flats built?
Oh, that'd be about 15 years ago, at least. Mm. Yes. And then having the flats across the road there, you used to be able to see right across over to the mountains. And I think that shouldn't be allowed when you've been living here for so many years, that your lovely scenery is all cut out like that.
Yeah.
But there's two stories of the units.
Just completely blocked
out. Yes, you can't see out the mountains. Later on I'll show you when you go towards the front one there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a pity. And I think it's a pity too that there's no that friendliness. You'd know everybody, and if you went down the street you'd know so many people. But now with Penrith becoming a city, you just don't know. You can go down the street and you know nobody. It's just that difference in the population here with the increase of population. It loses that friendly atmosphere somehow. It's a big city now.
And so what was your immediate neighbourhood like when you were a child living here? You would have been a young teenager.
Oh, yes. Well, you could go to the pictures then. I used to like the ballet, and I'd been to the ballet with another girlfriend. You wouldn't come home here off the train till 1 o'clock, but you were quite safe in getting off the train and walking home. But now you wouldn't dare to do that.
Mm.
I wouldn't go on the street at night night time there by yourself, even with another person.
Mm.
No, it's changed a lot, and I would say not for the better.
Mm. That sense of security has
gone.
Yes,
well, the whole morality of this generation now, it's not like and you could leave your in the hot days, you could you could leave the doors open back and front and you were quite safe. But now you have to close all the windows. Oh, I still keep the door open in my bedroom at night, but I can't sleep without fresh air. But you have to have security minded now.
Mm.
Being in the neighbourhood, what's so stress that thing? And the police always tell you, make sure even if you're gardening, to go out in the garden to have the key with you and lock it. Lock the door.
Before you go.
Yes.
Mm. Did you have neighbours close by when you were first living here?
Oh yes, Mrs. Richardson lived next door. She had a spastic daughter. Nothing wrong with her brain, she was very, very good. And Mr. Stonham was the magistrate. He lived, when we came here we owned the other block of land there, and after about 20 years Dad sold it. So our next door neighbour was Mr. Stonham, that was the magistrate there, so we got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Mrs. Tipping was on the corner there, and you used to know all the neighbours. The Snells lived across the road, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith lived there, and you used to know all the neighbours.
Were there any vacant blocks of land?
No, there weren't any.
But I suppose there were bigger blocks. Well, yours certainly is a fairly big block, isn't it?
Yes, well, it goes into a funny, I don't know whether you know, it's like a wedge shape, and this one here goes through here, and when you go to the other one, that's the point, and where this other bigger part here on the crescent, there's about five or six homes there. But the I don't know whether you noticed there on the when you came out the Lemongrove Bridge with the flats each side of it. They used to be just private homes and they pulled them down.
Mm.
Yes.
How did you feel about that when the old homes were pulled down?
No, I didn't like that at all. Because a lot of the Lemongrove Road and Macquarie Avenue are both on the heritage list now. You know, you can't pull, but you can't change the outside of the house without the permission of the council. You might be able to change it inside.
Mm.
Yes. Because these are all over 100 years old.
Yes, this would be on the heritage list, would
it? Yes. It's about 106 years old at least, this is. It's had a very, very interesting history to it. In this century, there's only been our family and then the Janes had it before.
Oh.
But then last century, it went to about three different people. Yes. Yes. And there was a land grant to John McHenry from the very early days in the 1820, he arrived in Australia and he was promised this grant of land by Governor Macquarie, but he died in 1832 and then his wife got it. She was the daughter of the Reverend Henry Fulton that had them out of Castle Rye. So there was a lot of history in it.
Yes. And so this is protected by heritage then as far as it couldn't be bulldozed?
Well, I hope not, but at one time there with the council, they had a walkway and it was going to come right through our house and we had to really fight to save this house. And it was going to go from Lemongrove Road through to Macquarie Avenue, that was Evans Street then. In those days, Evans Street came right from Jamison Road, right across the Lemongrove Bridge, and then it went as far down the bottom of the hill there. But now, once it comes out of the Macquarie, Lemongrove Bridge is renamed Macquarie Avenue.
Oh, I see.
It's about halfway down, they have the line there, and then people were complaining that there were men and that waiting for children, and that's so they wouldn't allow their children, no one started to walk there. So the council, we protested so much against it.
So they didn't do it?
No, they didn't go. And the letter that Ireland wrote to the council, when they had a Lemongrove Heritage that they put forth, they bought the book, it was about $3, and it was almost word to word from the letter that she wrote to the council protesting against that they should be preserving the old houses. There were too few in Penrith as it was. And then setting forth all the disadvantages of pulling down old homes, that was about more than 20 years ago, that was what the future generations were going to appreciate, not the modern homes, the old homes.
Oh, that's good. At least the council thought along those lines. Thanks to your help.
Yeah, well, my sister, she typed the letters. She's the one with the typing ability.
Just as well you won, isn't it? Because it's a lovely old home.
Yes, it's a lovely old home.
Big old doorways and cedar.
We've painted all ourselves recently on the outside, my sister and I, and then we've had to get the front round and we restored it to what it should have been. And we have the rising damp a bit and we had to have a fumigated underneath. And he was saying that, he says, Fort Knox, he said, this place is four bricks thick in underneath, it is, and three bricks thick on the side all around, on the outside walls. Yeah.
So it's really well built.
Yeah, yes, he said he doesn't know why they had the four bricks thick down in the foundation. It goes through the same as this room, right down. It's not just an open space. It goes right through with the bricks like a room down there as well. And it wasn't ventilated properly, and he cut big holes through there to get cross currents of air coming through, and he said it should improve it then a lot. It
should last for another 100 years.
Yeah, well, we hope so. Not that I'll be here.
So it would have been built in the 1890s.
Oh no, before that, in the 18, in the I know it was the Lemongrove Estate was opened up in the 1896, I think it was, or 1895, from the John McHenry's estate after his wife with the children up when they inherited it, and then they decided that they'd break it up into building blocks. So at least from the documents that we have, there's about 6 documents there out to this land. It's very interesting, and my mind is made up for the details and that, like by how they word them in legal documents. And it could mean that there was a house here, or it could have been that I wouldn't know what they had shed, but how they word it, I suppose they mean that if there had been a house there, that's included in the sale of the land.
I
wouldn't know, but there was at least it's 106 years old, anyway.
And so you lived here all with your parents during your later teenage years.
Yes.
And so did your father use the garden to grow vegetables?
Yes. We had there's a very old pear tree there when we came here, and we had a mulberry tree, and we had fig trees, and my father liked gardening, and he won the Sydney Morning Herald garden competition 3 times in the 60s, and he used to grow our tomatoes and beetroot and lettuce and beans and peas and that, and carrots and a lot of the things would be used to eat. Not to save money, but because it was so nice and fresh. And then with the council roads going up, it was coming up too high to keep the land there just for growing things. So we sold that. We knew the people that moved in there and built the house.
They built there.
Yes, they're nice neighbours there too.
And what did your father do? What was his occupation?
Well, he was a produce merchant.
Oh.
Yes, he had a him and his 2 brothers over in North Sydney. They had 3 shops between them, and then when we were starting to a little bit older. He didn't think it was right for the children to be around with the produce merchant with the men and that around there. So he bought a shop over in Windsor. And that's how we happened to go over there. And in 1929, there was a burglary over there. It was in the Telegraph Pictorial about these people, the burglars came in there and they tried to get in. And when they couldn't get into the safe, they blew it up, and then it set fire to the building. And but he was very lucky. He was able to. He had it in some kind of an oiled skin thing that he had all the account books. And even then, the dishonesty of people really—it's terrible. They threw their hats in the air. Now you won't be able to know what we owe you, Mr. Pike. We don't owe you anything. And with the water and that, Arlen will tell you, and my other sister—I don't remember about it. But Dad comes in and the next morning with the account books, and he said to them, now, how much is that? What's his name? How much is he owing me? And with their younger eyes, they were able to tell. So the next afternoon, or a couple of days later, they said, oh, well, we don't owe you anything. And he said, oh, yes, you owe so-and-so. From the account book, I was able to decipher how much was owing. And there, but even in those days, there was a lot of, over in Windsor, I don't know if you remember, there was the pyjama girl case.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big case there then, and there's a Denzel girl. There were a lot of murders for the small population. And we had a lovely childhood.
Did you go to school in the local primary school?
Yes, in St. Joseph's Catholic School.
Right,
yeah.
That's at Penrith.
Yes, it was down there on the corner of Evans Street and High Street, the half case is there now. Where it was, it's closed now. And that was St. Joseph. The convent was facing the High Street, and then the school was at the back of in Evans Street.
And that's all gone now?
No, it's all gone, yes. And the sisters have a convent there in Evans Street only there. They have the Caroline Chisholm School further out, and it goes up there. But no, that's Yes, it's all gone now. It's sad seeing it really go. Some of the old memories you have of your childhood like that.
A lot of the old memories are contained in old buildings, aren't they? Familiar landmarks.
Yes, so. Yes. You think of when you see a building, oh, that's where I went to school. And then I finished off down at Our Lady of Mercy College at Parramatta.
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't mean the same.
No.
Because I think you make the friendships and that you when you're younger, that when you go to a strange school when you're 16 or so, it doesn't mean the same somehow. Mm. I just go through high school and that together. Mm. Yeah.
And you've kept friendly with the people that you knew in your earlier?
No, a lot of them have gone for Penrith there. Mm-hmm. I don't think there'd be anybody in Penrith now that went to school with me. They've moved out of the area.
And did you walk to school from here when...
Yes, well, we lived over in Stafford Street there. See that photo there? We used to live in that house there. And that house there was very interesting. It went right through from in Stafford Street there to Castle Row Street. Do you know Castle Row Street? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how it's built now, they've made in front of that house now, there's another whole block of houses that's built on that land.
Oh, really? And that house still stands?
Yeah, yes. That's how it is today. Mm.
Oh, I thought when you came to this area, you came straight to this house. No. You lived there first.
Yes, because we came in 1936 and we didn't come here till 1941.
Right. That's why I picked this one, because that's the period we're really looking at, the 40s.
Yes. Well, when we came in this house, there was no Lemon Grove Bridge there, and the army camp, though, that was a speedway there before the war. The army took it over in about 1939, as soon as the war started in September. And they used to have a man on duty there from the railway, 24-hour service it was, and they'd just open it up as you want to go across in the cars. But you'd imagine there wasn't the number of cars like there are today.
It'd be a full-time job today.
Yes. And there also used to be one up in Kingsford too.
Mm-hmm.
There was two gates there that they used to open there. And, and there used to be a little shop there further on in Belmore Street there. A little shop there they used to have. You'd get to know the people in there, and you'd know even the people coming in, their customers. she used to have very good high-quality fruit and vegetables on. She'd have most of the things you'd get in a little corner shop, and she'd make lovely ice blocks out of the fruit.
Remember those?
Well, she married Smedley's their name was. She married a man much older than herself. And she was used to teach music, and then she married a man much younger than herself, and Mrs. Crazy, she lives across the road here. Yes, and she's lived there for many years.
She's still there.
Yes, she might be an interesting lady for you.
Yes,
because she's lived here for many years. Yeah.
And so did you all walk to school together, I suppose? All the children, your parents didn't have to take you to school.
Oh, well, by the time we got here, my sister was married in 1943.
Oh, right.
She was 22, my sister, Gladys of Earthwood, and Ireland had left school, so I was the only one, and by 1941 I'd left school.
Oh, had you?
41, 42 years. So there was no walking to school
from
then.
Yeah.
And it was quite safe in those days, that any of my children... Little children, 5 and 6, oh, well, I didn't go to school that much at 5, 7 or 8, they'd walk by themselves.
No worries, not much traffic and nothing much.
No, it was very safe. But going over to Stafford Street there, you wouldn't, they had one market garden there, old Mr. McGrath is no more. I can still see that old man, and you'd can go on a Saturday afternoon and you'd buy beetroot off him and cook it for Sunday. Yeah, that's lovely.
Wonderful.
Oh, we'd sell beans and potatoes. That mostly got the beetroot there off him. They're lovely fresh beetroot. Yeah, when we used to when we're here with all the fruit trees here, my parents used to love preserving them.
Did they?
Yeah, Dad went in with Mum and used to help him preserve them.
He'd do it too.
Yeah, because sometimes I used to be given any fruit that somebody else had some fruit, and we'd give them, we had a big plum tree there at the back, and we might give them plums, and then you'd have such a surplus that the only way to preserve them would be to bottle them. And Dad used to like doing it.
And did you give them to other people as gifts? Did you exchange things with them?
No, just that you'd give them, if you had too much fruit, surplus of it at a particular time, you couldn't use it, well, you'd give it around the neighbours and that to them.
And they'd do the same, I suppose.
Yes, if they had it.
And did you have chooks here too?
Yes, we had fowls there. We had up to about 30 at one time there we had. Yes, it's only really since Dad's died. He died, it'll be just over 17 years ago, and he had them until he got very ill. He used to like the fowl and having the fresh eggs and that.
Yes.
And even over, you'd hardly credit that when we were over in Stafford Street, we had a cow over there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Your own milk?
Yeah, and cream. And we had the fowls out there, and you'd have quite a lot of produce and that you'd be able to have for eating and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how did your mother get on for shopping? Did she get things delivered mostly?
Yes, that was, we were only talking about that a few weeks ago, about how hard it is, really it's harder now for women for shopping than it was then, because I remember the butcher used to come around, he'd come around and write down what you want, and then he'd deliver it in a couple of days. And then the baker would come around with the bread, the milkman, he'd not like today with the bottles, he'd take a jug out, and then he'd have a big container, and then he'd take, usually it was on the side of, say, a pint that it'd have on the jug, so you'd know how much milk you were getting out of your own jug. And the grocer used to come, and not only that, but with the order most weeks, having five people, my sister had married by then, he'd get a big bottle of a container of boiled lollies. Because there was with some people, it was the same as now, there's dishonesty, they'd let their accounts run and they just wouldn't pay them. But Mum was always very honest, and so was Dad. He had a very good name in business.
So they got boiled lollies as a reward,
For being a good customer.
That's a lovely touch, isn't it?
Yes, and most of the things were delivered, or if you were down the street and you didn't feel as if you could carry the things home, you'd put your order in, or you might go around the shop, but it wasn't like the modern day shop where you'd go on aisles, you'd go on the counter and then you'd say, now what would you have today, Mr. Smith, would you have that brand that I like, and he'd bring it over, I'll have that. So you'd just run over the amount of things that you were going to order, and then he'd bring it in a day or two. Or it was different, and they'd give you a suit. You'd sit down when you ordered the things in those days, and there'd be a big, like a shelf thing where you'd sit down and he'd just serve you. You were a treasured customer to them. And they treated you with respect. But now when you go through the aisles, you see people spending $200. They're just going through like a...
Like as if they were spending sixpence. It doesn't make any difference. Yeah.
It's just a different whole aspect of life has changed so much. But it made it easier in those days. Now you really have to have a car to do your shopping because you've got to bring them home yourself. But in those days, they had the courtesy to have everything delivered to you.
And I suppose while your mother was alive, the supermarkets had come and she would have seen that change too in shopping.
Well, she often said all the... once when she was... watching, I think, something on television, she said, I remember when they went off to the, before the First World War and the Second World War, but she also remembers them going up to the war over in Africa.
The Boer War.
Yes, over there, and that, because she was nearly 94 when she died. It's only just 3 years ago last week since she died. And her mind was very good. She'd had strokes, but she couldn't talk very much. And she had the Parkinson's disease, which is a terrible disease, really. And when we think back, it was hard for her. We were working. I had my own business and Eileen was working at the camp. But she still liked to go down shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd walk because she never drove a car.
Mm.
But just be able to go out and see people down the street that she knew. Because at that time she still knew a fair people there.
Mm.
To illustrate the point, when we were growing up, we had another cousin that used to come to the holidays with us. Every holiday she'd come over North Sydney. Mum's sister's eldest daughter. And one day, one of the travellers, they used to be, I don't know whether your mother used to tell you about them, there used to be a lot of travellers in those days, in the 30s and the 20s. They'd come around with a little bag like this, cotton and thread and scissors and all these haberdashery items that they sell. They mustn't have made very much money on them. And whenever anybody rang on the door, the five of us used to come to the door with Mum. And this Mr. Brubner, his name was, and I know it must know, for somebody that he didn't know, Mum, and he said, "All these are yours?" She said, "No, four of them." He said, "Oh, well, that one's yours, and this is my cousin." And she used to come to stay with us, even when she was engaged, and that she used to love coming up here. And she used to go down the street with Mum and "Good morning, Mrs. Park," or "Good afternoon, Mrs. Park." "Auntie Lizzie," she said, "does everybody in Penrith know you?" She said, "Oh, no," but she said, having Dad in business and that, they know who I am. And they just say, with courtesy of saying good afternoon or good morning, "Oh," she said, "no one knows us like that over in North Sydney."
Difference between city and country.
Yes, in those days there you'd know so many people.
Mm.
And it was always funny on a Friday night, you'd go down in the car, and that was the important day of the night of the week, that was,
like
and
that.
You do your shopping on Friday night, and then Dad was, we'd meet somebody he knew, and they'd talk, like a lot of men do, they like to talk about whatever's happening at the time, and you'd do your shopping at night and that there. Yeah.
It was a community activity, really.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And there used to be dances quite often on a Friday and Saturday night too.
Did you go to those?
Mum wouldn't allow me until I was about 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we'd go in, not by myself, but I'd go with Eileen or my other sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we used to go down to Dungowan Hotel. They used to have dances there. Or out at the Castle Ray Hall there, right on the top of the hill there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have good dances there. And where else did they have them? They had the two main things. And they'd have balls down at the Dungowan too. They used to have the Catholic balls down there. Yeah. And they were quite good. They'd have about 200 or more at the balls then.
And what else did you do for recreation?
Oh, well, I've always liked reading.
Mm-hmm.
And doing sewing. And for the last over 30 years now, I've been in the Historical Society, and I'm very interested in local history or Australian history or my own family history.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes up a lot of time. Well, that would have been in the 1950s. That was when I first joined up with the Historical
mm-hmm.
Society. They used to have the meetings there. You know where the library is at the bottom here?
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a little engineer's hut corrugated on there, and we used to have, not when we had a public speaker, we used to have it at the Arms Hotel opposite the Catholic Church, but when we had just an ordinary meeting, we'd have it in this funny little
mm-hmm.
engineer's hut there. That was before
part of the council, was it?
Yes, mm-hmm. they owned that, yes. Mm-hmm. There. So that was where we had the meetings there.
Mm-hmm.
But and all along there near the school there in Henry Street, that was all little cottages and that there along there. And next door neighbour, her mother, Mrs. Parks, lived in one of those. And where the police station is now, they had cottages there. The Plunketts lived there. And Mrs. Plunkett's sister, Miss Coffey, she had a there. And I don't know whether you've heard of Mrs. Price. She was on the council at one time. She lived just along there as well. They were all private homes there.
And they've all been demolished.
Yes, all gone there. Yeah. And they were not quite nice cottages along there.
The people who lived there must have felt a sense of loss when they were all demolished.
Oh yes, I think it's just changed so much to what it was, and where the 2KA is there, that was a forget the name there. That was a nice private home. It used to have a couple of horses. That must have been some relation. They had two horses just there, and that wasn't very far from High Street there. And it just changed there when the Hardigans were there. That's the only house that's remaining there now. It's closer down towards Belmore Street. The Hardigans, a two-storey place there.
Mm-hmm.
That's still standing. But just this side of it, going towards High Street, there's the little shop that I was telling you about where the Smedley's headed.
Oh, right.
But it's all gone all along there. And there was a Nurse Jones just around the corner, and all those houses have gone. Where the motor registry down there was.
Oh, yeah.
And where the, further down towards the technical college, there were two-story places there too. You should never think. We were only just saying this week, all that empty land there.
Yes.
There where, when you come over from the railway station, you look straight across the red cows that side, and this is all that empty land. Just like recently, I had my shop was in one of those.
Oh, was it?
Yes, and it's gone there, and the Glenry's had a milk bar and that right on the corner for the railway passengers.
If
I stopped about a quarter of an hour for going up to Mount Victoria, and then just give them enough time.